Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast, the official podcast of Fort Healthcare. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ENT doc, and serving as president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. I'm very excited today. My guest is Dr. David Mazursky. We are here. It is Men's Health Month, and we are here to discuss men's health. So, Dr. Mazursky, first of all, I want to say thank you for being on the Fortcast. I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, Mike, thanks for inviting me. My pleasure.
I would love for you to, you know, I've been with the organization for about 20 years, and I would love for you to give our listeners just a little bit of background on how long you've been with the organization. And I know your primary office sites are in Johnson Creek and Jefferson, and you do an absolutely amazing job. But please give us, our listeners, a little bit of a history on how long you've been with Fort Healthcare.
So I've been with Fort Healthcare for a little more than 13 years now. Again, working mostly out of Johnson Creek and Jefferson, but I've been doing primary care for over 30 years.
So I bet you that 30-year experience, you've probably seen a lot of men in your day in the office, right?
Well, women tend to come in more than men, but we have seen our fair share.
Yeah. And sometimes women come in with the men and say, hey, you need to be seen, right? I mean, that's kind of something that's known amongst the docs.
Absolutely true. A happy wife is often the driver of some of these visits.
Yeah, right. So when you do have an opportunity, Dr. Mazursky, to see an older gentleman and you're doing a specific appointment with that person, what are kind of the key health points that you discuss in that visit?
I mean, overall, we try to personalize the visit. We try to get to know a little bit about each patient, kind of their background, some of their family health history, and that kind of guides us into recommendations for wellness and prevention. And depending on their age and any known previous conditions, that's kind of what we start with.
Gotcha. So expanding on that a little bit, I know prostate cancer screening is a huge topic amongst men. When do you start having that conversation? At what age do you have that conversation with your patients?
In general, usually around age 50, but maybe sooner in certain patients, certainly in the Black community and the Hispanic community, we might start in the mid 40s, but roughly age 50, even age 55 for most men.
Okay. And when you have that conversation and you start talking about specifically prostate screening, what sort of screening tools are there? Could you educate our listeners on how you go about that? Or has anything changed recently in prostate screening?
So the most common screening tool is the PSA blood test. And there's a lot of controversy over that test because it's not the most specific test, but it's a start. And certainly a single PSA number doesn't necessarily mean prostate cancer. We look at changes in the number over time. But because there's a lot of false positives with that test, it's helpful to let people know up front what the test means and how we use it.
Right. And then, so once you get that initial PSA blood test and you find out that level, how often do you check it, Dr. Mazursky? How often does that need to be drawn again?
So usually it's checked once a year. Certainly it's checked a little bit more often if it's initially elevated and we want to see if there's a trend of that number going up or staying the same. It's not so much the absolute number, it's the change in the number that's more important.
Yeah, and I think that's worth highlighting. So, you know, a lot of times a singular measurement isn't nearly as helpful as a trending measurement. So you would recommend to the male patients out there that they get their PSA checked right around anywhere between age 45 to 55, at least annually.
That is the way we do our screening, yes. And, you know, historically, men are always worried about the digital prostate exam, but we don't usually do that very often anymore unless there's some specific complaints involving the prostate gland.
Yeah, that's also important to know because I think you're absolutely right. And I think that could be a barrier as to why a lot of men don't get screened, right?
Right.
Yeah. So blood draw. That's what we want to emphasize. So, but that's a very important point. Thank you for bringing that up. So are there any other cancers that you typically talk about screening for right around that same age in your office?
Right. So the other big cancer for men is colon cancer. And usually we start that screening now at age 45. And there are multiple strategies for colon cancer screening to let patients have the option that works best for them. It may involve doing colonoscopy. It may involve doing a home stool collection test called Cologuard. It may also involve just doing a yearly blood test for microscopic blood in the stool.
Gotcha. So there's a lot of different options today that may not necessarily have existed in the past for colon cancer screening. And it definitely needs to be part of the conversation. And I'm sure there's multiple avenues to go, Dr. Mazursky. It's a very individualized discussion, isn't it?
It is. And then there too, it heavily depends on a person's family history or their previous history, whether they can choose one option versus another. But any screening is better than no screening. So
I definitely agree. My family has a history of colon polyps. So I recently had a colonoscopy and it was a lot smoother process than I anticipated. So I'm just going to put a little plug in there for some screening.
Right. Even the bowel prep for colonoscopy these days is much more tolerable. Just drinking Gatorade with some Yerlox powder that's tasteless for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. So colon cancer screening, prostate cancer screening now. Wonderful to highlight those. I know heart disease is unfortunately very common in aging men. Is there any sort of risk factors or other topics relating to heart disease that you have discussions with on a routine basis with your aging male patient?
Right. So one of the biggest risk factors for heart disease is smoking. And so we usually always cover that topic. By the way, for people who do smoke, we also talk about lung cancer screening, which is the other big cancer screening. Anyway, back to heart disease, it's smoking, it's high blood pressure, it's high cholesterol, and really a family history of early heart disease in a parent or even a grandparent.
So when you have these conversations, is there one thing that stands out to you? Is there one risk factor that really seems to dominate the conversation? I can tell you, like with your history of 30 years in primary care, have you seen changes in like the smoking trend? Are people smoking less now? Or do you find that still a dominant part of your conversation?
I think the smoking trend has gone down, which is nice to see, but it still is out there and it still is a huge risk factor for a lot of heart disease as well as other problems.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on hypertension. How common is hypertension and how often do you find yourself treating it with your aging male patients?
Hypertension is certainly one of the most common things that we treat. It seems to be, I don't know, more common, but I think because the recommendations are to keep the blood pressure as low as possible, we have many more people being treated for elevated blood pressure. The good news is that there are lots and lots of choices that work well and that are generic and tolerated well for getting that blood pressure down.
Gotcha. I'd like to go back to something you mentioned, and that's if you do have a smoker, the lung cancer screening. So how do you go about that? Is it a simple chest x-ray, or tell us a little bit more about that?
So the current recommendation for lung cancer screening is actually a CAT scan of the lungs, but it's a low-dose radiation scan, so you're not getting the full dose of radiation for a CAT scan. And it's a yearly scan for smokers between the ages of 50 and 80.
50 and 80. So age 50, a lot of these come into play. Prostate, colon, lung if you're a smoker. I mean, it really starts to dominate the conversation.
Yeah, it's really a good age to come in if you've never come in before.
And it's amazing how often I see that in our community where people will come in and they don't have a primary care provider. It is so essential for everybody to have a primary care physician or nurse practitioner or PA to really be able to quarterback your health as we go through the aging process. So it always, to your point, Dr. Mazursky, it always surprises me at the number of people without a primary care provider.
Yeah, I think it's true. I mean, the guidelines change quite frequently, so it's nice to have someone looking out for you and trying to give you some current guidance and recommendations. And the thing is, it's easy to get a primary care provider these days. All I have to do is call.
Yeah, just call Dr. Mazursky, right?
We're available.
So that's great to hear. So is there anything in the way, the other thing I'd like to talk a little bit about, is there any typical conversation or common conversation you have with your patients in regards to, say, nutrition and or sleep? I'd love to touch base on those two topics for our listeners.
So nutrition is certainly a big one, especially with the explosion of type 2 diabetes and so many people these days. And we know that diabetes is associated with weight gain over the years, which is problematic. Yeah, everybody is looking for nutrition advice because it's all over the internet and it's hard to sort through what's true and what's not true. And so we usually try to just parse out any questions that a particular patient may have about nutrition, ask about some of their dietary habits, and look at their risk for diabetes and screen for diabetes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, obviously diabetes, particularly type 2, very, very common today in the medical world. What do you look for as a physician, and when do you find it appropriate to screen somebody for type 2 diabetes?
So the recommendation is to screen everybody starting at age 35, but certainly we screen younger than 35 if they have family history of diabetes or if their weight is elevated or if they want to be screened. So,
and that involves a blood draw?
So it's a blood test. Usually it's just a fasting blood sugar, as long as you're fasting for at least 8 hours. And if the sugar is above 126 fasting, that by definition is diabetes. But it usually should be on at least two occasions.
Now, just to follow up a little bit on that. So let's say you screen somebody and they hit that mark. What is your initial treatment? Is it a discussion on nutrition and exercise?
Yeah, the initial recommendation is to try to implore some lifestyle changes. We have discussions about activity recommendations, which is 150 minutes of moderate exercise activity a week. We talk about diet and portion control and balanced diet. There's nothing is really truly off the table in terms of diet. It's really about portion size more than anything.
Right. Yeah. And that's important to emphasize. And I imagine that initial conversation is very helpful. And when that doesn't do the trick, then you probably have a pharmaceutical arsenal at your disposal.
And there are lots and lots of choices these days, which is nice to have a good toolbox. Fortunately, some of them are on the expensive side. So anything that you can do with lifestyle to easily lower blood sugar is in your favor, obviously. Because you have diabetes doesn't mean you can't resolve it by making some lifestyle changes.
And I think that's so important to emphasize. If you have a newly diagnosed type 2 diabetic, you can reverse it by diet and exercise. Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Okay. That's important for people to understand because I think it's very easy for patients to feel defeated or helpless against it. And that's just not the case.
Yeah. Treatment of diabetes, it's a team approach. I mean, we have diabetes educators and nutrition counselors. Certainly there are community groups out there and wellness classes. There's all sorts of opportunities for people to educate themselves on diabetes and do what they can to keep it under control or, like you said, resolve it.
Yeah, and it's such an important thing to attack because it is such a strong risk factor for heart disease.
Heart disease, it's a risk factor for a lot of cancers, all sorts of problems.
Yeah, yeah. So Dr. Mazursky, do you ever talk to your patients or is there a role in sleep hygiene with men's health? I feel this is an emerging science, the importance of sleep.
No, absolutely true. I think sleep is a huge component to wellness. And unfortunately, it's a huge issue for so many people. And there's all sorts of factors involved in trying to get an adequate amount of sleep. And so it's mostly focusing on lifestyle changes for most people, and then maybe medications if needed. But we try to shy away from that for chronic sleep issues.
Right, right. And then do you typically screen or does it come up pretty often about the risks of obstructive sleep apnea?
That is an underdiagnosed condition for sure. And so we do screen for that. We make a lot of referrals to our sleep medicine colleagues. The good news for sleep apnea is that you can often do that screening test right in your own home now. The treatments have gotten much more tolerable. So if you're concerned about sleep apnea, or if your spouse is concerned about your sleep apnea, by all means, come on in and let us check it out.
Yes, exactly. Sleep apnea is very, very common. It's underdiagnosed and it has a huge impact on people's health.
It does. I mean, people that are treated for sleep apnea, they really feel a world of difference in terms of energy and productivity. I can't believe that they felt so terrible for so long. And then they get treated and they feel amazingly better.
Quality of life. It's a huge quality of life factor.
That is.
Well, Dr. Mazursky, I can't thank you enough for coming on this episode of The Fortcast. I have learned a great deal just in talking with you today, and thank you for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate the invitation. And again, we invite anybody to come and make an appointment and let's discuss men's health.
Well said. Well said. So thank you again, Dr. Mazursky. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Fortcast. Please visit our Fort Healthcare website to see our library of previous episodes of The Fortcast. And have a great day. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Mike.